Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, farmers of oysters, mussels and other shellfish will converge at an IFA conference in Athlone on Thursday next, that's May the 19th, to discuss issues affecting this rapidly developing export-driven food industry with a growing domestic market that employs hundreds of coastal inhabitants and generates economic development in peripheral areas. Well, the Irish Shellfish Association chairman is Donegal man Gerry Gallagher, and he says that the new government has a lot to do to implement the National Strategic Plan for this industry. I've been speaking to him about the forthcoming conference. Progress has been slow, I suppose it's fair to say, and yet there still exists considerable potential.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. It's about slow, but sure, seems to be the nature of the game, and I suppose change of government now won't speed things up either. But look, there's potential, and we're achieving some potential, I suppose, but it could be at a faster pace and at a much higher level. But between EU directives and national directives, you have to jump through a good few hoops before you can actually achieve what you set out to do initially. So, we're positive anyway. We're the positive outlook, but we're a bit frustrated, to say the least.
I think I'm right in saying you have your own suckler and sheep enterprise. You're involved in producing scallops, and you are, I suppose, a good example of a person in the west of Ireland combining income from on and offshore.
Well, that's true, I suppose, and in my position as chair of Irish Shellfish Association, I'm on IFA Council as well, so I do attend council meetings. It's good to have that background knowledge. I would have the whole farming background. We used to sell a lot of potatoes as well back when it was an enterprise that there was a few pound in. But like most other terrestrial farming enterprises now, you'd be suffering a wee bit if you're depending on the few acres that most farmers have on the west of Ireland, I'll tell you. So, combining all, I suppose, that's really what's a bit unique and maybe positive about the whole aquaculture sector, I suppose. On the shellfish side, you would have owner-producers, basically small farms, having their own aquaculture license for maybe producing mussels, oysters, scallops, I suppose. And then you would, on the salmon side, you would have people employed in the industry, maybe part-time, maybe full-time, that just have effectively a small farm, so it keeps people in places, and I suppose that's the name of the game, and that's kind of one of the positives, one of the key positives that's in the sector, that you do it on the western seaboard in particular, but around the coast effectively, and so it keeps people in those regions. And when you look at we would see anyone, the pier that we'd be on, and piers in general anymore, through lack of fishing, there'd be very little activity. But people who, tourists and stuff, and now with the White Atlantic Way in particular, there's a lot of tourists stop and ask questions and so interested to see what's going on effectively. So I think we're doing more than actually producing shellfish or salmon,
And we've seen an explosion of the food and drink industry. We've these craft beers all over the country now, and we have people really looking at local produce. You touched on there the Wild Atlantic Way. More and more restaurants want to have local produce on their menu. And for coastal communities, maybe we're going to see more and more people coming together and seeing, be it as a cooperative or a small company or as individuals, to see what they can harvest from the sea as well as from the land.
Well, that's happening. You can see the interest, and I suppose it's coming from maybe the tourist element, where, again, being inquisitive and do ask, maybe we, as domestic consumers, maybe wouldn't ask enough questions in restaurants and so on, but you'd find that tourists and visitors probably do, and it's creating that interest and demand, I suppose, from restaurants and hotels, and they're very keen to put local produce on the menu. So yeah, it's good. It's almost promoting itself, but BAM or and Board BA would be obviously see the opportunity to promote that end as well. So well, that in our conference. But yeah, that's the land. Yeah, you're right. You know, there are some farmers as well who are promoting their own farm effectively and what the produce, and yeah, it's going down a bomb.
As a nation, we wouldn't be particularly big consumers of fish or shellfish, and much of the produce, be it scallops, oysters, mussels, is exported abroad. But one senses that there is a growing market within the country as well.
Well, there is. Again, it's, yeah, I suppose we've been educated maybe a bit. I thought it'd be the right term to be using. Again, it's on the menu, and yeah, apart from your fish and chips and several other things, I suppose the meats and the steaks and the lamb and so on would be the main course. No, it's the fish and shellfish are creeping on. Starters initially, I suppose, but it's creeping on to the menus. To the main menues as well, so yeah, it's looking good, and it's a great product, and fresh, I suppose, is the key as well.
I noted the IFA on their website in the section which deals with the whole aquaculture and shellfish area. There was an opinion poll carried out last summer, and it found that there was a significant increase in the number of local residents who were happy to see aquaculture in their locality. The figure had gone up from 27% in 2008 to 49% last year. That's quite a big change in sort of opinion. So a lot more positivity towards the whole sector.
Yeah. I suppose it's maybe not surprising in a way, because anything new, people are conservative about their opinion of it. And I suppose it is new. It's new in the Western world, but it's especially new in Ireland. France and Spain, okay, would be ahead of the game on the Western world here. But if you go to Asia, and I have, and South America, those places are established for generations, and you know, it's a bit of an eye opener actually 20 years ago for me to see that in Spain and South America, where they're actually treated as just the same as we would an agricultural farm, where you know, hand on to the next generation and just do the day's work, get up in the morning, and it's not a big huge enterprise. They're all just family owned enterprises. Well, not all, but like the majority, it's the same as an agricultural farm here. You would have the majority would be just you know, one family operations, and it's the same. And you know, we haven't got to that space yet in Ireland, but that's where we're getting. And so, you know, generations, take a few generations, I suppose, to again educate everybody that look, this is sustainable and it's the way to go, and it's, you know, it's just it's a business effectively.
Would you say a lot of tourists coming here are actually surprised at maybe the lack of activity, or that they'd be expecting more activity in this particular sector?
Well it's difficult to say. They're you know, from what they see, they're inquisitive. A lot of tourists, you know, you do get the people who come who are from a fishing background or actually have a bit of a knowledge, but majority of people don't actually have the knowledge, and they'll sort of look out and sort of, you know, they'll be looking at salmon cages and you have mussel barrels and you know, in Mulroy Bay here, for example, and sort of, you know, and so what's there. So, you know, they're inquisitive as much as anything. It's new to a lot of people, because the UK is almost a bit like Ireland. Ireland now, 9/10 of our area is marine, is water. Only 1/10 of our area is land. But we don't look at it that way. We think that Ireland, like, we're a dot in Atlantic, but like that's what we're, you know, renowned for, our green image and so on. But in actual fact, like 9/10 of the area is out there, and it's sea, and it's and all the you know, natural. It's the natural environment out there, and natural resources that are actually in the sea and so on, and we're really not utilising that, I suppose, and there lies, if you want to call it, the problem in a way. And again, it's going to take a while, I think, to realise what is out there, and we're only just at a bit of a tip of the iceberg, effectively, I think, what we're doing. But it's it's the way to go. I mean, it's not going to go over the world or nothing, but it's sustainable and it's the way to go. What we're doing, you can be, we hopefully, and as I say, I've seen that in other countries where it's going on for centuries, actually, you know. I mean, the Asians, the Chinese, for example, which I've seen, and they walk about with live fish in plastic bags, like to market and stuff, where we would think, you know, you'd never see that in Ireland, no. Basically. So, you know, we're catching up.
There was a report carried out for the IFA by a leading agri-economist, Professor Alan Rennick, and his figures suggested that the Irish oyster sector contributes something almost around 60 million euro to the rural economy at the moment. And, you know, for every pound that you invest, you get so many jobs in return, and that ultimately it's a bit of a win-win situation.
Well, it is. And I suppose it's more, I know everybody liked to put monetary terms on it, and everybody, and I suppose including the industry, but in particular state agencies and so on, you know, it's nice and glossy and all that. But I would see the real benefit and being just the social element as well, and, you know, you can put that on, terms on it in sales, but, you know, what we talked about there in relation to tourism and everything else, nobody wants to go to an area like that's derelict, so it has a far bigger impact, in my view, than any of that. Like, you know, I mean, it's easy to put figures on it, everybody, because everybody's accountable for every kilo that they sell anymore. So those figures are accurate. But, yeah, and there is potential. I was in New Zealand, actually, in January there, and I was on a farm there, an oyster farm, on both sides, east and west. It was the same farmer owner, but they were expanding at a rate of knots, and again, they have a good domestic market, even though they have the same maybe population as Ireland, but more maybe diverse population from around different countries, a big Asian community. So they have a good domestic market, but, you know, they see the huge potential, and but they have difficulties as well, you know, green in the faraway hills, I suppose, but, you know, there is potential. We're in a global market, and we can talk domestically, but you'll find New Zealand mussels and New Zealand lamb and New Zealand everything in Ireland, so it's a global market, so it's competitive.
Now, the conference that's taking place in the Hudson Bay Hotel in Athlone on Thursday the 19th of May is going to include a number of speakers who will be looking at the whole sector. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about what's likely to be in store.
Well, yeah, I suppose we'll have to wait and see in a lot of cases, but Finian Alunis are there. He's in the Board B of Paris office, but that guy has come through BIM, the marketing section. BIM used to do the marketing for all seafood, but Board B have taken, effectively taken the budget and taken the marketing role. So they do that now. So Finian's on that one. And a couple of French guys there speaking. We have the European Mollusk Producers Association, which I was part of setting up, us in Ireland, and the French and the Scottish and the English. Were initially, we set it up back, you know, 20 plus years ago. So those guys are on the ball, and they always have, you know, good items to contribute, because big producer, the main producer, well, along with Spain, they're the main producer of Gigas oyster and the main consumer, so France is a key. Obviously on the licensing, Julian O'Donovan and John Quinlan is head of licensing section on there, so keen to get an update. The minister has announced a review of the aquaculture licensing system. It was supposed to happen in the last quarter of 15 and a report in the first quarter of 16. So I don't see any reports yet, but we'll see how that goes. We have a committee in Ireland and in every country who, under the new European Monetary Fishery Fund, there's a committee there to look at, basically to agree the measures that are going to be implemented. So she would attend those meetings. She's really clued in, and again, it's going to be interesting to see. She didn't have a great opinion of the way Ireland were doing things under the last programme, basically dragging her heels a bit in relation to implementing EU directives and speeding up the licensing, aquaculture licensing process. So it'll be interesting to see what she has to say. Tara McCarthy, new CEO in BIM, She's ex Board Bea. I've met with her on a few occasions. She's excellent, and she probably hopefully brings a new vision to and she's pretty dynamic, so that'll be good. Bea Mahoney from SFP, Sea Fishery Protection Authority, really clued in guy. There's a lot of stuff in there.
And finally, Gerry Gallagher, looking at the year ahead, grounds for some optimism that things are going in the right direction?
Things are going in the right direction. We'll probably know better after our AGM and conference when we get a real update from all the state bodies. But of course there is optimism we're always positive approach and outlook.
And that was the Irish Shellfish Association Chairman, Gerry Gallagher, well known in IFA circles in the Northwest. Just before we go, to let you know that on Sunday the 22nd of May, there's a Let's Walk and Talk event at Ards Forest Park near Creeslough. It's a family woodland walk as part of the Green Ribbon campaign to promote good mental health and is backed by the IFA. The walk starts at 3 p.m. and admission is free. There'll be guided walks and plenty for the family to do. All are welcome. Just a word about next week's programme. We'll have an exclusive interview with recently elected IFA President Joe Healy. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio from me, Chris Ashmore. Thanks for listening. Until next week, goodbye.